Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Sports Network. It's a daily show, yes, daily, covering the Cavs and the NBA at large. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Cavs and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. If you'd like to submit questions, inquire about an ad, or just say hi, email the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. And if you like the show, please give us a rating and review on iTunes as it helps other people find the podcast. Now, here is today's show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers, the official Cleveland Cavaliers podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Manning, and I'm a staff writer at Hardwood Paroxysm and also an editor at FearTheSword.com. Today, I'm joined by a now frequent guest of the show. He's a writer at A Wolf Among Wolves. He is a staff writer at Fear the Sword. It is William Bull, a.k.a. Bill. Bill, what's up?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good to have you back on the show. You know, last time you were on the show, we talked some news, but the time before that, we talked about who is the second best player in Cavs history, and, you know, it was a really fun discussion that you can, you know, check out on our Audioboom page and whatever, and there's a lot to go through, but we were asked by a listener whose name is eluding me right now because I forgot to write it down, so I apologize to that listener, but he suggested that we do a podcast about the best Cavs team of all time. And so I took it in the sense that we are going to build the best Cavs team based on any Cavs player ever, anyone who ever played for the team, could be one game, could be, you know, 20 years or whatever, and build that team to compete against other teams that are constructed of the best players in team history. So Bill and I have both built a 12-man roster with a coach to compete in a tournament where, you know, the best player from the Celtics and the Bulls and all these, every team is going to be represented in this tournament. And we don't really, aside from the obvious of who we sort of know who's going to be starting at small forward, we don't really know each other's rosters. So we're going to go through this position by position with the starting lineup, and then go to the bench, and then go to coach, and talk about who also didn't make the team. So, Bill, before we get into this, what was this process like for you? Like, what, were you trying to build a specific type of team when you were building this Cavs team?
Kind of, like, you know, you always look for some kind of balance. Two of my spots were very obvious. Other spots were a little tricky, but I tried to look for, like, a starting unit and a bench unit that really made sense together. And then I honestly picked one guy for the end of the, because we did a 12-man team, like you said. The last two spots were really, really hard to sort through, because it gets tough, like, right at the end. But, you know, you're thinking about, like, well, on a 12-man roster, like, there's a spot for a, you know, a vanity player, just someone that you really like to put on your team. But, like, when you kind of try to think about it, like, what would make sense? Like, what does this team need? It gets a little tricky. But I was looking for balance. I was looking for people that fit with LeBron, who's the small forward, obviously, and like that second unit, like I said, because it was a lot deeper than I thought it was. Like Cavs, like I know a little bit about Cavs history, but like I really dug into it for this, and it's a lot. It was a lot deeper than I thought. Like I was not expecting to have as many issues as I did, and I was like pleasantly surprised to be like, oh, I got a lot to think about here.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think on the wing was the place where I had the most concern finding people, or like picking through the right people and stuff. I think that was the biggest thing, just because I didn't know who I actually liked in that spot. I didn't know if I wanted some of the other people that we've talked about in on past podcasts and that are gonna fit in there. And just my team was all about building around LeBron. I really, really just know that if this Cavs team is going to win a tournament, it's going to be because LeBron James is dominating and LeBron James is at the focal point of everything. I just firmly think that's the only way they win. So,
right.
to start, Bill, who is your starting point guard?
My starting point guard, and to anyone who listens to the best Cavs, second best Cavalier ever episode, I'm going to seem like a little bit of a hypocrite, but my starting point guard would be Kyrie. And I imagine yours was the same.
Yeah, it was good. Why did you pick Kyrie?
Well, you know, it's hard not to, like, I tried not to let recency bias sway me too much with these picks. I tried to, you know, look back to the past as much as I could, and I know it's always tempting to look at older players or that era, like 80s, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s basketball as being, like, antiquated, but I tried to give, you know, as much credit to those players as I could, so I was trying to really keep an open mind. I picked Kyrie because I see Kyrie and LeBron on the court together, and it's really, really amazing. And to me, that just, you know, Mark Price is that's a theoretical thing. I just couldn't, like, I couldn't talk myself into nudging Kyrie out of, like, the starting spot. So Kyrie would probably be my starter.
Yeah, I have Kyrie there kind of for the same reason. I know him and LeBron play together, and I just want to have two really elite playmakers on the floor at the same time. I want two guys who can just get buckets, who are going to work well together and can kind of give my team a distinct style. It's just, I want that. And I have the other guy that we're going to, that you've already hinted at and stuff on my team, but we'll get to him later. Shooting guard, who did you have as your starting shooting guard?
I had Ron Harper, and this was tricky. Like, there's a lot of different ways to go, I think. With the wing spots, both, you know, not the starting small forward, obviously, but like the two bench wing spots and then the starting shooting guard, it's kind of, but I would go with Ron Harper, in part because he was so good while he played for Cleveland, and in part because, even though he didn't have the longest career with Cleveland, and in part because he really became an excellent role player on title teams, and to me that shows a certain willingness to kind of defer, and if you play with LeBron you have to be a guy that can do that, so I think Ron Harper would fit very nicely.
Yeah, he is also my starting shooting guard. I think you look at what he was a kind of jack-of-all-trades guy a little bit, you know, would have been a really, really big part of those Cavs teams had he stuck around for a long time. You know, he kind of, you know, the trading him is looks back, it looks, doesn't look great. You know, he can play a little point guard if you need him to, and, you know, for his career, not a great three-point shooter, which is a little bit of concern for me, but I have other guys on my team that can do that, and I just like what he brings to the table. You know, if you get peak Ron Harper, so, like, you know, let's say in the 1993-94 season when he was 30, he did make 30% of his threes, and then, you know, in 96 when he's 33, he made 36% of his threes. And I think if you have Kyrie and LeBron, you're going to get a lot of open looks, and maybe he, with, you know, the spacing and things like that, he can take advantage. And that's, I think that's what I'm hoping for, at least with him.
Right.
That's sort of my dream.
His rookie season, by the way, does not get talked about enough. 23-5-5 with 2.5 steals. Like, what? That's incredible. And I know the pace was higher in the late 80s, and some of those numbers are a little inflated, but geez, I mean, he was really, really incredible when he was younger. And he had injury issues too, that kind of sapped his strength a little bit earlier in his career. But yeah, he definitely would be my shooting guard.
Yeah, I think he was a pretty clear choice, and ultimately I think the other guys you consider, one guy in particular that I considered who I think will probably be on your bench, we'll get there. So on the small forward, we both, as we've already said, are picking LeBron James. I think that goes without being said, he's the best player in Cavs history. In my opinion, he's the second best player that has ever played in the NBA at this point, and I just don't think you can do, there's no way in any situation where there is a better pick to play small forward on this team than LeBron James. He's the defining player of the Cavs for now and probably forever, if we're being honest.
Yep. Not much to be said there.
Nope. It's LeBron. Like, this is, if it's kind of like what we talk about with the Cavs sometimes. It's like, if LeBron has to be that dude to kind of just be crazy and go off and stuff for them to have these big chances. And I think that's kind of what we're a little bit looking at here, at least in some sense. So looking at power forward, I'll say this was the hardest choice for me to make. just because I think there's two really, really good options. But I picked one who I think just fits with my starters better. Bill, who did you pick?
I picked Larry Nance. And this is tricky. Because I would like to have a shooter there, and he was not a three-point shooter. He was an amazing finisher. So I'd wonder a little bit about things getting clogged up if they were playing like modern style with modern rules. But, you know, a three-time All-Star, a really, really excellent player in his career, and a high flyer, but was a lot, you know, kind of remembered for being a high flyer, but was really, you know, much, much more than that. I don't know this is probably the starting spot that I feel the least confident in. If you told me I had to swap one out, this would be the one. But who would you pick as your starting power forward?
Nance was also in my consideration, obviously, because of who he is. But I picked Kevin Love. I think just because I want the spacing, I want a guy who's also a really, really good rebounder who maybe he isn't going to fly as high as Nance, but I like maybe using Nance as a weapon I use off the bench. I hate using the word weapon, but I like him off the bench as an offensive tool, and it's a guy I can lean on the bench units a little bit if I need to. And I just like what Love's going to do next to LeBron. We know it's not the perfect fit in a lot of ways, but we know that he's going to space the floor. He's going to, you know, make things easier for Ron Harper as the fifth option. And I just like my starting lineup having Kevin Love there, because I kind of know what I'm getting next to him and LeBron. And I think the fit in terms of spacing and LeBron needing to drive because his jumper isn't what it was. Because even if you're getting, you know, cyborg LeBron in Miami, and that's like, you know, and he didn't even play for the Cavs, if you just don't know if LeBron's jumper is always going to be there. And I would rather just have that extra shooter on the floor, because I think it's just especially if you're playing teams where, like in the tournament where you're playing a team that has, you know, more traditional two bigs, Love's going to be really, really good in those situations. Like, I think he would feast against some of those other players. And I just think I really, really like Larry Nance. It was hard for me not to pick him. He was my original pick. But Love's shooting to me is just sort of the difference there. Even if Nance is the higher flyer and he is maybe a little more dynamic, I just think Love's ability as a spot-up shooter, even if it's not as good as we kind of thought it was when he got traded to the Cavs, you know, hasn't been always great. I just think it makes too much sense.
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. I put him on my second unit for a very specific reason, but we'll get to that. But yeah. Love is, yeah, that's a hard conversation. I'm sure we have the same center.
Just on a job?
You nailed it. How did you know?
I mean, when you gotta pick the 7-foot guy who can run around and block shots, you pick the Tana Job. There's no other Cavs center. But no, I mean, I think we probably both pick Brad Doherty.
Yeah, obviously.
Easy pick. Very mobile center at his peak. You know, can defend. Can do a lot of different things. And I think he fits well. For me, him next to Love is pretty ideal. Like it's kind of the ideal center next to Kevin Love now. If, you know, talking about Kevin Love in the modern NBA, if you had that type of center next to Love, I think that's something we've never seen, except for the little bit of a Mozgov type thing, and that's even a little bit different. But if you had a Doherty next to Love, I'm really, really down for that front court duo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. But I just wonder how different Love's career would have been if he was, you know, born 20 years sooner.
Kevin, you know what I mean? He'd be unbelievable. Like, 80s, 90s, Kevin Love is like, was built for the 80s.
Right. He would have been kind of like a McHale sort of way. Like, but it's weird to think, like, he almost certainly wouldn't have dropped the weight, right? Like, he would have been kind of a bigger guy throughout. But he would have been just dominating the glass. Like, you know, it's just so crazy to think about how, you know, how different these guys respond to the time, you know, in which they live. Because, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on another podcast. I know we're kind of planning coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But Love is just a fascinating guy to think about that way. And Doherty, too. I mean, so many of these guys, like, what would they look like today with this space? If you're a big guy that's mobile, being in such a pick and roll heavy league, like, how different would it be? Like, would he be DeAndre Jordan with more of a refined post game? Like, that's kind of frightening.
I know. I know. Yeah. It really is.
But
yeah, that's going to be something, guys, as a, or gals, as listeners, there's something coming up that I think you'll really, really like in about 2 weeks' time. So, we, you know, our starting five, so ours are the same except for Bob Ford's wife, Kyrie Irving, Ron Harper, LeBron, Kevin Love, Brad Doherty. Bill has Kyrie, Ron Harper, LeBron, Larry Nance, and Brad Doherty. So, you know, pretty similar. And you know, so today, because I have Larry Nance and he has Kevin Love, we have the same players on the team. All right, so Bill, I'll go first in this one. Here is my bench that I have constructed. Mark Price, Craig Elo, Austin Carr, Larry Nance, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I have certain players on there later, but we'll get to it. What is your bench?
My bench is Mark Price, World Be Free, J.R. Smith.
Oh, you got both of them. You got both of them.
Packaged, baby. They're on the second unit together.
I hope your team does not play in Atlanta. I really hope your team doesn't have to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I didn't say they'd be the most focused second unit ever, but God, they'd be fun. Kevin Love, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, and then for my two, like the last two spots, I also had Terrell Brandon. I thought that I would be the one for sure to have Terrell Brandon.
No, I don't have Terrell Brandon. I thought about Terrell Brandon.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I thought you had
him. No.
Okay. I've got Terrell Brandon, and I've got Hot Rod Williams. Okay. And there were some – and we can – we'll talk about the people we left off later. But this is a – this was tough. Like the end of that bench – the end of that bench is really tough.
Yeah. For me, Brandon was a hard guy. We mentioned this before we recorded, which is where I think you think I picked him. But he was really hard for me because I was thinking about wings. My last roster spot – I'll say this. Zydrunas was actually the last guy that I added because – I value having wings, but I also look at my team and think, okay, I know LeBron's going to be playing almost every minute at small forward on this team. You know, I have Mark Price to play point guard. I could probably play him at two in a pinch if I need him to. Harper and Elo and JR can give me a lot of minutes, and I think Elo can play some three. Yeah, that's fine. So I'm like, do I need another wing? Do I really need this other wing, or can I get something out of another big who can score a little bit and maybe space the floor a little bit and... You know, if something goes wrong with Doherty, like, do I have another guy I can go to for center minutes? That's why I picked Z. And he, because there are other guys I thought about, but it was tough. I mean, Z, for me, Z was the last guy that I added, and it was not an easy choice for me to slide him in there, because I don't know if it, I don't feel great about it, to be honest with you. Like, I feel weird not having that extra wing depth on there, but, like, I kind of got to roll with it.
So, okay. So you got Price. And then who are your backup wings?
Elo, Carr, JR.
Interesting. Yeah, it's, I mean, Elo was under consideration for me. But then I just thought of, well, World Be Free. You know who would be, I mean, if you're talking about role players in a tournament style, Steve Kerr probably has to get mentioned here.
I thought about him quite a bit. But then I was like,
right.
I was
it's
like,
really.
I thought about it a lot, but I didn't go with it for some reasons that were just kind of like, okay, there's guys that I don't know. We'll get into our fundamentals of how we pick these teams later and when we talk about our purpose and what we're thinking overall, but I thought a lot about guys that would actually had been on the team and sort of had stuck around longer and sort of identified as Cavs. I just thought, I feel weird picking like Ron Harper for me was weird to pick because it's like he's sort of with those guys, but he's more of like a Bulls guy. He's not like he's not most associated with the Cavs, even if he's at games around me all the time. That matters to me maybe more than it should have.
Yeah, I mean that's what I was going to ask about Austin Carr. I mean, because he didn't have the longest, you know, most successful career. But if you were picking a team based on kind of that same criteria that. You know, in terms of what it meant to the franchise, Austin Carr definitely. I felt kind of weird leaving him off.
I also wanted a miracle virtual guy on my team, and to me, he was the easiest one to justify. I mean, there are other guys that you think about that I almost put on, but I think you know he represents the Cavs on the ways. I felt weird not having him on my team just for that reason. Okay, so let's look at the bench. I'll just run through mine really quick in terms of what I expect out of them in terms of a role. Mark Price, he's my backup point guard. He's going to play some two. If you don't have Mark Price on your team, like I know some people don't, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
For me, that's a huge problem.
He's the second best Cavalier ever. Of course it's a problem.
And you didn't even put him in your starting lineup, Bill. What are you doing? Come on. Be better, Bill.
Fair enough.
So then I have Craig Yellow, he's 6'8", he's going to play some 3, he's going to play some 2. He's going to be my off-the-bench stopper when I need one, and him and Harper are going to work really well together as a wing tandem. Then, I have Austin Carr, going to be my last guy on the bench in reserves, just be there, Austin Carr. Larry Nance, he's going to be my linchpin of my scoring on my second unit. He's going to, play with Price and just run a lot of pick and roll and do a lot of things, maybe play some small ball 5 if the situation calls for it. Tristan Thompson, he is going to get a lot of run for me. I really, really need him, and I almost picked Hot Rod instead of him, but I think Tristan's mobility, his rebounding ability, and I think they're different, but they're sort of redundant. You don't need both. I picked Tristan because I kind of just like the motor. I like the more, maybe slightly more athletic upside and just his ability to step out and defend guards. I value that skill because there are teams that I know are going to try to run pick and roll and isolate bigs, and I value Tristan Thompson being able to defend guys in that sense. And J.R. Smith is on my team because he's going to shoot a lot of threes. He is there to shoot. He's there to be J.R. Smith. And I have Zeke on my team just because I felt like I picked him or a wing, I picked the guy who maybe I can throw the ball to and just get a couple buckets from time to time at the end of a game, or just if I need a guy to play. And I kind of might try to play him and Nance together a little bit.
Right. Yeah, that bench, makes a lot of sense. I think we kind of think about and I have a hard time with this for some reason. Like, I always like to look at units, like starting unit, second unit, as like a full out hockey, like a hockey sub sort of. Whereas I think maybe you were kind of thinking about how they plug in into the starting unit a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, you could have Elo play down at shooting guard with LeBron and just try to slow it down and stop people.
Yeah.
Or if Love, just doesn't have it or whatever, you could put in Nance and try to go a little more up-tempo and try to get up and down the floor a little bit. Whereas me, I constructed my second unit that I thought would be fun based on, I think there'd be a lot of fun, and I think they'd actually kind of fit together. So mine would be Price, Worldby Free, and J.R. Smith on the wings, Love and Ilgauskas, like as a 5-man unit together. Like, you'd have pretty plus passing ability at the 1 and the 4 spots with Price and Love, and then 2 gunners.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would work. I would just love to see it because Worldby Free, it was doing this research for this, he made one All-Star team in his entire career, which I think says a lot because he wasn't, how do I say this? He wasn't, clearly wasn't viewed as very valuable. You know what I mean?
No.
He was scoring a ton of points. He got buckets everywhere he went. He went a lot of different places. I think the two things are related. But if you needed isolation scoring, he would be a great guy to have. And then I think, you were kind of talking about your front court pairing. Love and Ilgauskas, I think, would be a really, a pretty solid.
They're not stopping anybody, Bill.
They stop a lot of people.
I mean, they're stopping Steph Curry, but.
Yeah. Hey, that's going to be my response to everyone who makes fun of Love's defense. Like, yeah. And that should be everybody's response to anyone who makes fun of Love's defense. From here on out, he locked up the MVP when it mattered the most. So
yeah,
Yeah.
Kevin Love is Bill's defensive stopper, is what I'm hearing. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting out of this. He's coming off the bench and he's going to just clamp down Garnett and Tim Duncan and and Charles Barkley. That's what Kevin Love's on this team for.
I'm putting him on the other team's best player.
Yeah. That's just, yeah. And work in the finals and count the rings. Count the rings. So looking at the I think we both have pretty good teams, pretty similar teams. I think, you know, we did not many differences, which I'm not really surprised about, to be honest. Like, I know we both had some guys that we almost put on there, which we'll get to in a second. But I'm also just not surprised that we end up with the same type of guys for the most part. Like, there's only a few differences. And that to me isn't very surprising. I just think when you get to it, there are just guys that stand out above everybody else.
Yeah. And there were, like, to get to, like, the end of the bench, like, this is where the hardest one for me was I put Hot Rod on over Tristan. And I don't know, I don't really know how I feel about that. Like, yeah. You talking about Tristan kind of almost swayed me a little bit. I don't know. That'd be a tough one. I just think Hot Rod Williams deserves some love.
No, I think he does, too. I think he, in a lot of ways, was kind of – he's one of the cult heroes of those teams, but I had to go Tristan. All right, so before we get to the coach, let's, like, Bill, who are the three guys that you wanted to put on, or five guys or whatever that you wanted to put on that you couldn't?
Well, I think it's interesting that neither of us – and I know he had his limitations and – he just played in the finals for Golden State and was flopping all over the place. But Anson Varejao, I think it deserves to be in the conversation somewhere. But the Cavs have had a pretty deep, you know, set of bigs on the team. But when you think about someone who's just associated with Cleveland basketball, you know, Andy has to get mentioned.
Yeah, I agree.
The Miracle of Richfield team, Campy Russell and Austin Carr, both. You know, I looking at kind of the history of it, those guys were both very good players. It was weird to leave off. And then thinking about the modern angle, like if this tournament that we're talking about, this theoretical magical tournament happened, I think Danny Ferry, as being a big guy that can stretch the floor a little, who's an excellent shooter, I think he could have fit. And I initially was like, I got to find a way to get Danny Ferry on the team, but it didn't quite work. Yeah, I won't leave him off. But those were kind of the guys that, and obviously Tristan, those were the guys that I thought the hardest about.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a longer list, so I'll just run through really quick. And if anyone stands out, he was crazy, feel free to just call me out on it. All right, so I had Varejao because I thought a lot about Varejao. He was hard for me to leave off, maybe more hard than D in some ways because of when I grew up and watched the team and stuff, but didn't happen. Campy Russell, World Be Free, Terrell Brandon, Steve Kerr, Danny Ferry, Jim Jones, Bingo Smith.
Yeah, yep, all those guys.
But I also just, when I finally looked at the stats, looked at everything, and just kind of thought about it a little bit more, the guys that I did put on my team were just sort of there.
Yeah, like, and Ricky Davis.
Yeah, Ricky Davis and Deion Waiters were both incredibly tough, as were Darius Miles and DeJuan Wagner. And shout out to Luke Jackson too. I mean, you know, inversely, if we ever in a year, if someone wants this podcast, I think there's enough material there to do an all-time draft bust podcast.
Oh man,
we could definitely do it with this Cavs team. Just like build the team of really bad draft picks, we could have fun with it because you even have bad second round draft picks like Joe Harris. Anyway,
and undrafted free agents like Matthew Dellavedova.
Ayo. Anyway, looking at coach, I think, okay, I don't know how you felt about this, but to me this was the hardest one to pick because there are sneakily a lot of really good coaches on this Cavs in the Cavs history. You know, you have Lenny Wilkins, you have George Karl, you have Chuck Daly for a little bit, you have, you know, you have the guy who actually won them a title in Tyronn Lue, and you have just Bill Fitch, you know, the Miracle Richfield coach, and he went on to do some other really good things. Bill, who is your coach?
My coach is Lenny Wilkins, and here's why. I think LeBron has gotten along the best with Ty Lue among the coaches that he's had throughout his career, and maybe something will change in the next couple of years. I don't know. Maybe it's that it was too short of a window to really say that definitively. But I think I sort of like coaches who played. I like the idea of it. And then Link Wilkins was a great coach in his own right. And he coached those really great Cavs teams in the late 80s and early 90s that I, you know, were well represented on the team. So I think Lenny Wilkins would be my coach, but this was really a lot tougher than I thought it would be.
I agree. There's a lot of name coaches. I mean, guys wouldn't even name Bill Musselman, Keith Smart, Mike Malone was there for a little bit, Fratello, Mike Brown. You know, you have like a lot of guys who are actually sort of there and doing things. So this was hard for me. For a minute, I did consider George Karl just because I like the style he runs. I think it fit really well with my roster. But then I remember that he alienates every star player that he has. And I was like, oh, probably don't need the guy who undercuts DeMarcus Cousins and Carmelo Anthony having coaching LeBron. That doesn't really seem to be like a good idea. So he was gone. For me, my final, I came down to three guys. It came down to Wilkins, Fitch because of nostalgia, so he ended up getting cut because of that, and Tyronn Lue. I ended up picking Lue just because I don't necessarily...
Oh, wow. Man, you got five Cavs and Ty Lue.
I know, but here's why. I don't believe that he's the best coach in Cavs history. I really, really don't. It's by in terms of wins and losses, in terms of what he accomplished as an overall coach, Lenny Wilkins is the best coach. Like, he has the best resume. He has the best. Right. He has over 500 winning percentage. He, you know, he's fourth all time in the team winning percentage. He's the all time franchise leader in games won as a coach with 316, 11 more than Mike Brown, 12 more than Bill Fitch, a lot more than Blatt, a lot more than any coach the Cavs have had since Fratello. But I know that to win this tournament, I have to have utter 100% complete buy-in from my team. I have to have a guy who I know LeBron respects and I know has to just sort of be able to get in that locker room. And if I can't have James Jones on my team to do that for me, I have to have Tyronn Lue as my coach. James Jones is totally an assistant coach on my team. Like, he is totally – I'm like, James Jones is getting plucked, and he is going to be an assistant coach on my team. And I don't really feel great about the Lue pick because I have questions about him as a coach, which we've talked about on a past podcast. And there are things that I don't know. We don't know about him because he is sort of an unknown, even if he did win a title. But I have to go with a guy that I know is just going to connect with LeBron. I have to. And I had Wilkins that written down for a minute. I had other guys written down. But I came back to him, and I was like, I have to just pick the guy that I know can go to LeBron and demand something of him, and LeBron is not going to just laugh him off and run a stupid high pick and roll. He's going to listen to Lue, and he also connects with Kyrie, and I just have faith in that in a way that I think it matters in a way that I can't quantify in terms of what he's already done as a coach because his track record isn't that long.
All right, so to recap, your pick was recency bias. I mean, Ty Lue. My pick was Lenny Wilkins. Okay, we got. Yeah. You know what? You really can't go wrong either way. Yeah, they're both good. One guy won for 1,000 games, and one guy had like, you know, three good months.
He's
you know,
LeBron whisperer, Bill. He's a LeBron whisperer. I mean, okay. I'll say this. I think there really were only two actual choices for coach, and I think it was Lue or Wilkins. I know Chuck Daly coached the team, and Mike Brown technically won a lot of games in sort of Fratello and stuff, but, like, you know, Chuck Daly isn't a guy who I associate a lot with the franchise.
He doesn't.
You know, he's Chuck Daly. He's Chuck Daly with the Pistons. He's not Chuck Daly with the Cavs. Like, he's the Bad Boys Pistons guy, so...
You can't pick him in a clear conscience.
Right,
no. And as a sidebar, like, finding out Chuck Daly coached the Cavs kind of blew my mind, and then I started looking up the Stepien years, and holy crap.
Yeah, like, bad times.
His idea to rename the team the Ohio Cavaliers and have them play home games in, like, Dayton and Cincinnati, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. That was completely nuts.
Yeah, and the year they had Daly, they had four different head coaches. Like, he just kept firing people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. People just looked at him cross-eyed, and he just canned them right away. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's really, really just a bad, bad time. Like, they make the Kings look normal. You know? Like, it's crazy. So to recap, we're going to – before we go, I'll run through our rosters again and everything. But what was the overall kind of – What was your overall goal with this team? Like, what is, if your team is going to have an identity, what is it?
I think, you know, I was looking for fit. And I was looking for, you know, pieces that, that really fit together kind of as groups. And then I wanted depth at two particular spots because I was worried about injuries. And I know that's kind of a negative way to look at it, but like I wanted a point guard and I wanted a big at the end of the bench because, you know, Kyrie and Price both have had, you know, both kind of associated with injuries to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Doherty, you know, and Ilgauskas with the foot, kind of the same thing. So having another big was important, but I would say fit and having one particular, you know, elite skill. Those are the two things that I was really looking for.
Yeah.
How about you?
I have the same thing. I just think I know that to win and to beat franchises, the Cavs are going to have a chance at even making a run in this tournament. They're beating franchises that are just loaded across the board.
Right.
You know, you look at, like, Boston and L.A. are the cliche examples, but just look at the dudes they had, you know? You know, if you're looking at the Bulls, they're not only are going to get a guy, they could probably, like, Jimmy Butler maybe makes that team, but, he's a reserve wing. You can just throw him out there to defend dudes. I mean, can you imagine a team, if they went small, trying to, score on Jimmy, Michael, and Scotty?
No.
Like, God. Like good, you know, so good luck. just good luck. And if you want to get like real wacky and you want to combine the combined histories of the Sonics and Thunder, which I know those fan bases would not like, but let's say they do it. Can you imagine like that team running on a 2-point guard lineup of Gary Payton and Russell Westbrook?
Oh, with Sean Kemp and Kevin Durant in the front court.
Yeah,
it'd be wild.
Like there's all these wild things for the Cavs to like. Make an actual run in this. I need to leverage LeBron James as much as humanly possible. It has to be LeBron James with Kyrie Irving and just him being a monster on both ends of the floor. My team is about leveraging LeBron James, and if he's on the floor, he's going to be the players that I know he can thrive with. Like, I look at, you know, the Cavs this year had that bench lineup where it was LeBron, Dele, Shumpert, you know, Richard Jefferson, and in a big, you know, just whatever that was, right? Like that mostly bench lineup or all bench lineup. My bench lineup with this team is I'm going to roll out there with Mark Price, Craig Elo, J.R. Smith, LeBron, and Larry Nance. I'm just going to see what happens.
Right.
I'm going to have all the shooting. I'm going to have two really, really long dudes, and I'm going to have Larry Nance as my small ball five. I'm going to run LeBron and Larry Nance pick and rolls. I'm going to just run that at people. And
just throw lobs at the rim. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like Delhi, but like actual passes. no shame, but I need to leverage LeBron, and that's what it's all about. And that's honestly why I picked Lou. I mean, I feel weird about it still, but I feel like I had to just because I know he's going to leverage LeBron, and that to me is all that really matters. Like I don't know if there's a team except maybe the Bulls because of Michael and the gravitas of Michael, that you have to literally leverage one guy that much. And when you leverage that one guy that much, he's actually good enough to maybe capitalize on it. Like, I don't know if there is another team off the top of my head that has that type of player. I really just don't think there is. Because other teams either have a lot, don't have a guy on LeBron's level that you can maximize in that way, or they don't have the supporting cast to do it.
God, this Lakers team would be, because I was thinking about Magic, like maybe being as one of those guys.
But we have Kareem and we have
Wilt
and Shaq and Kobe, and Kobe Bryant and, you know,
I don't even know what I'd do with a Laker team.
Or what? Sorry. I mean, what do you do about the Celtics? Like, they could run out of five of like Havlicek, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Garnett, and Bill Russell. Or I didn't even mention Larry Bird. Like, you have Larry Bird, Garnett, and Bill Russell on the floor at the same time. Are you kidding me? Like, it's unbelievable. And, like, to beat a team like that, you have to leverage LeBron. And to me, that's all that really matters.
We got into, like, the rules of this. Like, which team would you have to play for if you could only play for one?
I'm riding the coattails of I'm the 13th guy in the Celtics team.
No. I meant like would Garnett be a Celtic or would Garnett be a Wolf or would he be both?
I'm
not crazy enough to think that my Timberwolves would be involved in this tournament in a meaningful way whatsoever.
Hey, one day the cat takeover is going to be so real.
Someday, man. Like 30 years from now, this is going to be a completely different podcast. Yeah, but
the logo will be Karl Anthony Towns just dunking on dudes.
Yeah, right.
Or it'll be actually Zach LaVine like jumping over somebody. The dream.
I can dream. Yeah.
Yeah. It's either that or Ricky Davis. So, I mean, Zach LaVine makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
But, it's tough. I mean, if you win through by rule, I think you might have to just let guys play for multiple teams because, that's more fun.
Yeah, you're right.
Because but at the same time, like, that means KD's, like, the Warriors would be kind of crazy because you look at how good they were last year, and then they'd get KD and they'd have, like, Nate Thurmond. And they'd have, all the guys that they had back in the day.
Rick Barry. Yeah, that'd be...
Rick Barry, like, I would pay gobbles of money to watch Rick Barry and Draymond Green interact.
Oh my God. Like in their primes?
Yeah,
like try to play together.
Yeah, like
that would have been amazing. Then,
I want Rick Barry to Draymond, shoot your free throws, and Draymond's nah. Like them just mouthing at each other. They would either be best friends or they would just punch each other.
Oh, they would punch and kick each other. I feel confident in that.
Yeah, I'd be pretty down for that. But this Cavs team, again, we took some thought into this. At least we both put in a decent amount of thought in this, and it's tough. But I think at the end of the day, we both built pretty good teams. My team's totally beating yours, but it's cool.
Yeah, whatever.
But if you like this... Sorry, Bill?
Sorry, I was just going to say I don't need anything else. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So if you're out there listening to this podcast and you have your own 12-man roster, you can tweet it at both of us. I'm at CWMRates. Bill, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at BreakTheHuddle.
And you can tweet the podcast at Lockdown Cavs. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher, Google Play, any podcast area you can find. You can find this podcast. Email us your 12-man lineups, and just share them. We're in that point in the basketball offseason where I think it's just time to have a little bit of fun. The Olympics are Team USA just kind of drubbing everybody, and that blowouts aren't really that fun, to be honest. So. This is something we just thought we'd do. To the listener whose name I still haven't found yet because we're recording this, please tweet me so I can shout you out on the next show. And thanks for suggesting this topic. It was a lot of fun. Bill, thank you again for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, if you listen to the update pod, we put it a couple days ago. We'll be back in a few days. It won't be daily right now because there's not a lot going on. But again, Bill will be back soon with something pretty that I'm pretty sure we're both pretty excited about.
Yes, sir.
And we'll talk to you guys again next time.